Chapter 2. Nothing Stopping Lady Justice. As Misagi stared at Katsumi, seemingly love-struck due to something he possessed, Katsumi had no idea how she fell for him. After getting a good look at her body, he saw something odd on her side. An insignia of some sort, which told him she was one of the members of a group affiliated with what Katsumi would join. That would be if it were not so corrupt. He looked Misagi in the eyes and asked her, "Is that the group I declined to join due to corruption?" Misagi nodded, regaling to him, "I had not taken off the patch yet. I knew this group was trouble from the beginning, so I decided to defect from it so I would not be noticed." Katsumi, meanwhile, had a sad expression on his face.
"I have to take it that you were Kunoichi for the Bachenbach. Are you one still? Just independent nowadays?"
Misagi nodded to both questions, knowing that Katsumi would be very, very disappointed if he were to find out she was still in the group he declined joining.
"I was an original member of the group, being there since the beginning. I was in charge of all the Kunoichi who spied on the Tormach members, needing a lesson in forcing everyone to become one. I, however, saw that the head honcho of the group was Tormach himself, as he stuck to Tormach traditions."
"I am indeed glad that you left the group when you did. If I were to join, I would have found out I was Tormach much later than I did, before I received a recruitment letter from them."
Katsumi sighed before looking into her eyes, saying,
"It was nothing more than a Tormach front."
"I am glad I was able to leave when I have, for I would have been stuck in the Tormach ways before I would have realized it myself."
Misagi then pulled Katsumi to an embrace. She looked up at him, silently mouthing many thanks to him for being an inspiration for the departure from the Bachenbach. As Katsumi reciprocated the embrace, it made him understand why Misagi was following him the way she was, and that she wanted to learn from him. Even though she had no idea as to how, she always had a desire to live the way Katsumi did. As Katsumi disengaged from their embrace, he went inside the house, and then took off his shoes to make some tea. Misagi, meanwhile, took off her shoes and walked inside as well. The two of them seemed to have been good friends for a while, though he likely lost contact with her years ago. It was, for Katsumi, only now seeing what Misagi did in the present, rather than in the past, or what she would do in the future. As for Katsumi's own path in his life, he just stuck to it, no questions asked. As he was serving the tea, he asked Misagi,
"Had it been a long time since you had last contacted with me?"
He sat across from her before clarifying,
"I had lost contact with you for years, even before I departed from Roquad."
"Yes, it was a long time since I had last seen you. Although this was after I followed you out of Roquad."
Misagi's tail lazily swished as she regaled to Katsumi this revelation.
"If you were to find me at the time of your departure, I would have been packing up, just like you were. I always took a look inside your house when you were not there, and I knew what you were up to."
"How did you know when I was outside of the house?"
Katsumi was now confused. In the back of his mind, he was thinking,
"Had this woman been Tormach the entire time, and I was not aware of it?"
"We lived next door to each other."
Misagi reached out to touch Katsumi's cheek.
"Do you not remember when we would spend a lot of time together during our childhood, along with my brother Katosuin? Do you not remember that?"
Katsumi just shook his head.
"Nay, I had not, for there were some times that just..."
He sighed before continuing.
"They seemed to me as timing attacks that would be completely destructive. And being at the wrong place at the wrong time, at any place, I would always be attacked by fellow members of the village for having 9 tails, despite being a half-fox Todd."
He slammed his fist on the table, eyes red with anger as he yelled,
"And it still haunts me to this very day. Every single time I think of our time together, it was nothing more than sabotage of my life. Trauma I may never heal from, as long as those scumbags live."
Misaki, understandably, had tears welling up in her eyes again. She realized why Katsubi had repressed the memories of the time the three spent together in their childhood.
I'm so sorry this happened to you.
Her voice started breaking as tears streamed down her face.
I wish I could have known sooner, Katsumi.
She just hugged him tight, as if he were to go away forever one day. Katsumi just embraced her as tight as he could go, without breaking her back, or harming her. As Misagi's tears dropped onto Katsumi's kimono, he realized that she was just like him in so many ways. Yet, he never had seen the connection in a long, long time. This made him grounded to the reality that, if he had trusted her more, they could have had a great relationship with each other. Instead, he was distant due to the trust issues that plagued him, likely as a result of other people, not Misaki Katosuin, whom he was unable to trust, even to this very day. Misaki just looked up at him, eyes red from crying so hard, seeing Katsumi in this state, taking the Musashi route in aloneness rather than loneliness. It was not out of hatred, but rather to protect his mind from what could have become of him. What if he were to become a monster who never wanted any interaction with anyone? What if he had been a charming prince who is the kindest soul known to anyone in Wesneth? Who knew what would become of Katsumi? This was until he heard a knock on the door. He disengaged from the tight hug and walked to it. On the other side was Aosuke Katosuin, the brother of the twins whom Katsumi knew as Katsukun. Katsukun's eyes widened when he observed Katsumi's eyes red with anger.
Katsumi?
He was scared senseless, thinking he was about to kill Katsukun.
Are you all right?
Katsumi sighed and flatly told him,
The memories came back, and they were worse than I remembered this time around.
Misaki, meanwhile, hugged Katsumi, knowing that this hurt him to have to do this. She would explain why Katsumi was this way to Katsukun, saying to him,
He had trust issues since we were children, and they were not our fault.
Katsukun sighed, and then looked up at Katsumi, stern look on his face.
I do not blame you for why you went the Musashi route when you were 16. I warned Misagi against following you, though she did not take my advice anyway. I followed her and found she was in the Bakenbach organization, so I would join it. Thankfully, neither of us had orders to surveil you.
If you would have done so, I would have murdered either of you on the spot so I could keep my peace.
Katsumi was brutal with his honesty. He was always that way. But in return, people would listen to him, no matter how brutally honest he was about how the world worked in so many different ways.
I had no idea if or when you were going to start doing so.
Neither Misagi nor I would do so, because we would depart before they would start sending a ton of Tormach reliquaries to your place. In retaliation for your scathing letter, telling them to kick rocks. Misagi was not the only one who wanted to live like you, for I desired the same.
Was that why you sent me the letter a couple of days ago?
Katsumi pieced together this entire deal. Katsukun was legitimate with his claims, per Katsumi's observation. And he knew that Katsukun would not do anything remotely evil to him. Katsukun, meanwhile, nodded in confirmation. He regaled Katsumi.
For if it was not for Misagi being at the mailing office, you would have no idea I desired to leave the Brotherhood, just like she would do after me. If I had not told her to be there today, when you were going to deliver your response to me, I would have been saddened by your frank response.
I am glad that Misagi stopped me after realizing why I was going to respond to.
Katsumi breathed a sigh of relief before continuing,
For if I were to respond to you, saying I had trust issues, I might have disappointed you, Misagi, and everyone else in that family.
You do not need to worry about the rest of the family.
Katsumi was shocked at what Katsukuna just told him. The rest of the family joined the Brotherhood and have already been marked.
We are the only two people in the family that realized it before it was too late, leaving the group before we received the ritual mark.
Speaking of, Katami stroked his chin as he asked this. Is the mark something that is physical, or is it a symbolic thing?
Both.
Katakun showed Katami his right hand, which had all kinds of scars from something.
I was forcefully placed onto a table, but defended myself from what turned out to be the marking ceremony for the Brotherhood. I defected the next day, knowing they would try it again.
Katakun put his glove back on.
That is why I have to wear gloves nowadays, because if someone were to see the scars and recognize them, I would be murdered on the spot, and numerology would be used as,
I already know.
Katami interrupted him, saying, I had used numerology to determine what the Brotherhood was about to do. There is nothing they will do that they get away with, because I show people who are willing to listen to me prove what they were doing was evil, using their methods to do so.
Both Katakun and Misaki's eyes widened at Katami's revelation. While being a recluse, he studied numerology and gematria for a number of years. When he started to piece together things for the Brotherhood and Bachenbach, he used numerology and gematria to decode what they were doing. It was horrible, to say the least. Some of the worst crimes Katami had ever read about.
This would change his stance on life and his outlook on depending on the kingdom rather than one's own devices for their basic needs.
How did you...
Katakun was unable to speak, and the same with Misaki.
Katami simply replied, When I was not working, I was studying on how to defend against any Brotherhood and Bachenbach attacks, and numerology was their main plotting device, for the people did not know it. After I studied it, I knew something had to be wrong with everything they stood for. Control, manipulation, murder, theft, the whole barrel of poison. There was nothing I could do to change my mind on what they were doing, especially now that I would go ahead and completely disregard anything they did if it were a false flag event. I even called them out myself, and nobody would listen, thinking I was a babe in mind when I was already on to something.
Why did they not tell us the truth then?
Katakun was getting rightfully angry now that he realized things were going Katami's way. Both the Brotherhood and Bachenbach had no chance of defeating Katami and assimilating him into the group, especially now since he would not decide to join for this reason and others. After calming down for a moment, Katakun looked at Katami and simply told him,
Just be careful of them. For now, they may want your soul.
I already know that.
Katami sighed before walking to his low cupboard and fetching a scroll he had in there. He brought it out to the front door and handed it to Katakun.
If you ever needed more evidence, that letter I was sent was certainly a call for me to join them or be slaughtered at their hands. They want my soul so they can make an example out of me, and therefore force everyone to turn to the dark side. This is their ecumenical plan they want to achieve, and I am to be used for it.
Katakun took the scroll, opened its container, and read the contents of the letter. His eyes widened at what he found inside, and he immediately shot up his head to look at Katami.
Is this all legitimate?
Katami nodded, saying, Yay, it is. That is the exact letter I was sent, with their seals of approval included. I was targeted for death ever since I declined, saying that I would be taking the mark of destruction for not complying with their demands. In other words, they were attempting to coerce me into joining their ranks and basically practicing what turns out to be Didakayan in origin.
That was what I heard too. That we were Didakayan mystery practitioners once we joined, and were bound to follow Didakayan tradition, but in our own little twist.
Misaki also knew.
but who could blame her for that?
Both of us, sister, not just you.
Katsukun looked at Misagi before looking back at Katsumi.
Have you thought of another place to move to, should that be needed, Katsumi?
Nay, I had not, for I was relatively safe here.
Katsumi had a confused expression on his face, knowing that he was indeed peaceful while he was in this area.
Those reliquaries you melted not too long ago indicated that the area was compromised due to being seen by both groups, and therefore tracking you down.
Katsukun revealed this to Katsumi, causing a horrified expression on Katsumi's face to creep in.
The reason why we sent those reliquaries was an intimidation tactic we used, and I would know because I knew how they were written, and still do.
No wonder I just waited until I went back inside to burn them. I knew this area had a high chance of being surveilled, but not this much.
Katsumi knew something was wrong, now realizing that his location might have been leaked. This was somehow due to betrayal of the Bakenbach and Brotherhood tracking him down and attempting to somewhat take him down with a huge army, which would have been a huge ask for him.
That was the thing, which was to ensure you actually meant what you said.
Katsukun spoke candidly about the whole thing.
They wanted to ensure you meant what you said before they would go through a corrupted court system to essentially have you taken down without your knowledge. It is in their policy that when this happens, this is classed as treason, and they can hold secret court hearings without your presence. Since you're barred from entering the place, it means you are automatically guilty of whatever they choose to indict you for that day.
I had read that exact policy and knew something was wrong with it.
Katsumi sighed once again before continuing,
I am glad you proved me right there, knowing that nothing shall stop me from defending myself harshly.
That is what they want you to do.
Misagi was also frank about it, telling him,
they want you to be made into a laughingstock for everyone to gawp at, with an additional layer of humiliation before they outright murder you.
You will not want to do that.
So, you basically are saying that I am to cower and be compliant?
Katsumi was confused at this, not knowing what she meant.
Nay, she is saying that you do not want to get yourself into unnecessary confrontations with these people, which could then lead you to being tricked into throwing the first punch, and not the last.
Katsukun knew that Katsumi thought differently, and that he had almost no understanding of what was hypothetical or literal.
The groups have always wanted you to attack them, even if he had the first punch thrown to you, so to speak. If they could get you violent, they could use that as a pretext to call for your demise, with the added benefit that they steal everything you have. For they brought a criminal to justice, even though they are not just themselves.
Was it always their goal for someone who rejected joining the group? Especially after such a sternly worded letter that scared them to the high heavens?
Katsumi was now getting furious again.
Yes, it was.
They want to take down anyone who will stand in their way. Katsukun sighed before continuing.
I had read your letter, which scared the absolute heart rate out of me. You call them out like you were lighting a Matsuhara tree during the winter season.
Katsukun, Katsumi, and Misaki knew the Matsuhara tree being used in a winter festival called Gatasui no Shogo, which would celebrate the birth of Gatasui Shikonosai, a deity that was worshipped throughout Westneth. Gatasui was responsible, allegedly, for bountiful harvests by spring, summer, and autumn if he was pleased with one's work. Katsumi, meanwhile, was flabbergasted at this. He was quite oblivious to Katsukun's decision to read the letter while he was a Bakenbach punk, knowing that Katsumi would not budge on his beliefs that were found to be compatible with natural law. All of these traditions did not fit natural law, and violated it on so many levels. Katsumi could not begin to explain every single one of them. He would then look into Misaki's eyes, and then Katsukun sigh. He told them,
so that is why they want me to go down with a fight, for they want me to be easy to take down
without a fight. That was when Katsumi saw something not right coming towards him. It was massive, like some sort of army was about to surround him. He burst out of the house, sprinting as fast as he could towards a bush he knew he would not be found in. Katsukun and Misaki would do the exact same, joining Katsumi in the same bush. They hid in the dense brush of the bush for the entire time that they were in there. While whoever was in the bush could see out of it, those who tried to look inside could not. Therefore, they were completely hidden. As it went here, the three of them stayed silent as to what looked to be Bachenbach and Brotherhood members working together to search through the entirety of the property. Clearly, this was planned beforehand and made Katsumi want to do some gematria, date numerology, and standard numerology in his head. As he was doing so, his expression became more and more grim, realizing that something horrible was about to happen. He whispered so only Katsukun and Misaki would hear him, saying, "My home." The two turned to Katsumi, confused as to what he was talking about. He regaled to them this: "I fit the exact description of arson, in which the fire always started in my childhood, when I was too young to stop it. Their goal here is to murder me, which is 38, and then make it look like something happened, which would turn out to be an accident."
"You might need to fake your death then."
Misaki hugged him tight, knowing that these people were relentless.
"They will not stop until you die, so we need to reset everything for you."
This would make Katsumi start crying softly. The first time this was done in a very, very lengthy amount of time. The last he remembered doing this was as a child for something just as traumatic. Maybe his childhood memories of some similar event were starting to creep into his mind. He tried to keep it in, but he struggled to even keep himself stable as he did. Everything he worked for, everything he cherished due to its long-lasting value, was now being burnt. Or was it? As he looked, the people surrounding the house were instead looking to keep the house untouched and burn everything around it. This was a controlled burn, ensuring they would do this within the lawful limit. Now Katsumi was irate with their actions. This made him naturally jump out of the bush and rush who he thought was the ringleader.
"Sire, behind you!"
One Brotherhood individual pointed to Katsumi as he rushed this older gentleman. When the older gentleman looked behind him, Katsumi's fist connected with the man's face, knocking him unconscious. Everyone froze, including those who were about to start the fire. Katsumi's eyes were red, his nine tails were on full display, and his fox ears grew slightly as he turned into the most ferocious for a half-fox ever could reach. This was Nakoen Raikiri no Gotens, the most powerful and destructive, anger-fueled state of power one of these beings possess. Katsumi's voice boomed as he commanded everyone about to burn everything except his house.
96 everything ye seeth here, and 38 shall come for all thy souls, lest you decide that thine time is to depart from the wickedness of Didakai, in which case thou shalt be spared by the power vested in me by my sole creator.
As his voice boomed throughout the entirety of this area, lightning struck everyone who would not repent down, being that he was one of, if not, the loudest foxes when angry. Katsumi always had an angry disposition. Whenever he was attacked, slandered, or anything else anyone could think of that was negative. This was why he went the Musashi route in the first place, so he could avoid this type of trigger happening. As he continued to pour down contempt against everyone, one by one, they started to flee, seeming to have had the fear of Katami's sole deity in them. Eventually, everyone had departed, screaming in terror as Katsumi absolutely unloaded all of his creator's words. So he thought through him. Nobody wanted to be a part of any of that. As everyone fled,
Katami would say one more thing, that being,
"Come hither again, and lightning shall strike all thy souls, and maketh ye suffer for every sin ye hath committed."
This powerful form would come at a cost, however. When it wore off, after some amount of time, Katami would pass out, still conscious, despite his exhausted state. Misagi would see this, rush out of the bush, and help him to safety. She brought him inside the bush again, and she just held him close as he slept. Nobody would have any idea how long it took for Katami to sleep. Not even Katami himself had a clue of how long he would be asleep. As Misagi held him close, Katsukun would be by her side, keeping track of Katami's sleeping body as he just slumped onto a tree. His back was somewhat comfortable looking, despite it being on the bark of one of the trees he had at his disposal. Then again, Katami always had a disposition that would cause him to fall asleep randomly if and or when he was tired. Misagi, meanwhile, would just stay with him until he woke up again.